Someone placed a testament in my outstretched hand.
That one testament had a great impact on our lives and our family.
This is an opportunity for me to have a new testament.
As I began to read the book of Revelations, I could see how much God loved me.
It was like for the first time in my life that I really felt acceptance.
I'm fixing up this drug, and I see the Gideon's Bible over there. But there was a force compelling me to pick this up. You know, he says he'd take away all the weights and burdens that you have. They were gone.
It has given me hope for daily living in the worst circumstances of my life.
Someone who loved me.
All I said was yes, Lord. And it was like I was born again right there.
Together we go. The church and the Gideons have had a long-standing partnership together since 1908, when an Iowa minister, Dr. E.R. Burkhalter, made a motion at the Ministerial Association in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, to put Bibles in all the hotels in the area. Thus began the glory of God of a special relationship between the church and the Gideons. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. It says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. The Gideons International is just an association of born-again business and professional men with one purpose. And that one purpose is not just putting Bibles everywhere. That one purpose is that men, women, boys, and girls all over the world can come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. We're members of local churches, just like yours, and we go around. We try to go around once a year to every church and tell the congregation of what the Lord's doing in this ministry and how He's using you and He's using us together for this world. You might think about it like this. You've got 300,000 missionaries around the world. You don't have to pay their salaries. You don't have to provide housing. All you have to do is put a Bible in their hand, and they'll go and spread the gospel. Right now, we're in 196 countries. And by God's grace, we placed and distributed over 84 million scriptures last year alone. And since 1908, we have distributed over 1.8 billion scriptures in 99 different languages around the world. As Gideons, we place the Word of God in the traffic lanes of life, where churches, denominations, and other ministries are not able to go. And we do that as part of the church. We place Bibles in hotels and motels, hospitals and nursing homes, schools and colleges, prisons and jails, police, fire, and medical personnel, as well as men and women in the armed forces. Our wives are the Gideons, the auxiliary of the Gideons International, the backbone of the ministry, the prayer warriors. They're the ones that pray for us as we go. My wife prayed for me this morning, as she always did. She took my hand, and she prayed that I would have the strength to stand before you this morning to tell you what this ministry means to me and what it's doing in the world today. People, if you didn't know me before my life had changed, you know I wouldn't be able to stand before you this morning and do that. And I thank you for my wife. But the auxiliary are also able to go into the dentist and the doctor's offices, pregnancy crisis centers, to nurse graduations and hand out testaments as well. You might be interested to know that we have a new distribution to reach the youth of America. This new program is facilitated through the youth pastors, and it involves an in-school, peer-to-peer distribution by Christian high school youth to their classmates of a little booklet called the Life Book. The Life Book began back in 2010, and since then about 6 million copies have gone out to the schools. All it contains is the Gospel of John. This avenue of scripture distribution further strengthens our long-standing program of placing the Word of God into the hands of young people. It's because sometimes we can't go into the schools. They won't allow us to, but our youth can. We have to remember that God's timing is always perfect, and His hand is on every copy. Whether it's in Henderson, Tennessee, or our troops headed off to war. Larry Sweat was headed to Vietnam. And before he boarded the plane, he was given a little testament. Just like that we give the military. He took that testament, and over the course of a few years, he called upon that testament to help him out of different predicaments, although never reading it. Finally, one day, he opened the book up to the book of John, and he began to read. He read about the love that God has for us. When he got back to the United States, he prayed to God that if he would show him a real Christian, he would change his life. About that time, his wife gave her heart to Jesus Christ, and Larry did too. See, Larry became a chaplain in the military and had the opportunity to work with young men and women to strengthen their relationship with Christ. There was one young man that gave his life to Christ, boarded a plane going back home. He was going to get married before being deployed to Desert Storm. About a month later, his mother called and asked Brother Larry, did he really get saved? Larry said, yes, ma'am. He really gave his heart to Jesus. She then told him that her son and his wife was killed on their honeymoon. He said all that she had left was his little testament. And in the back, he said that he gave his life to Christ and written Larry's name down. He said, I just want to let you know what happened. The woman continued, I've been reading that New Testament. She said, Chaplain, do you think I could get saved too? And then using that one testament that left Fort McClellan, Alabama, ended up in Denver, Colorado, after reading some scriptures, she gave her heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, that's the power of the Word of God. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Another man whose life was changed by the Gideon Testament was Herb Thompson. Herb Thompson was a big, tall Texan who loved to go to bars and loved to fight. But one night he found himself on the wrong end of a switchblade knife, and he was cut from one side of his abdomen to the next. He said he remembered waking up in a hospital bed. And remember the doctor telling his family he's not going to make it through the night. He said in and out of consciousness, he remembered waking up in this room with four beds. He said on the opposite side of the room was an older man in that bed. He said he remembered that old man pulling himself up on his IV pole, walking across that floor. And he put his hand on his shoulder, and he was clutching one of those little red testaments that we give the fifth grade students. That man said, "Could I share the Word of God with you?" Herb said, "Foul mouth." I told him where he could go and what he could do with that Bible right then and right there. He said, "I slipped off into unconsciousness again." He said before he did slip off, he remembered that old man. He slid down on that pole, and he began to pray. He prayed this prayer. He said, "Lord, I've lived a long, full life." He said, "God, if you must take a life tonight, take mine and spare this young man's." He said when he woke up the next morning, the bed was gone. He asked the nurse, he said, "Did the old man go home?" She said, "You might say that. He passed away about 4 o'clock this morning." Herb said, "I had to know what was in that book." He said, "The little red testament was still on my dresser drawer." He said, "I picked it up, took it home, and I began to read about the love of Christ." He said, "The power overwhelmed me, and I gave my life to Jesus." Herb Thompson is now a pastor in Texas. He's able to lead thousands to the Lord in this little church. As Gideons, we believe the Bible in Hebrews 4:12 says the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, even piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. I had the opportunity a couple of years ago to go to the country of Bogota, Colombia. And while we were there, we were able to go into the classrooms and distribute testaments to the children. Here in Tennessee, sometimes we can't even distribute in our own schools because of the ACLU and different organizations. They tell us we can't go in. But there we were able to go in and just give each children a copy of their own word. And we were able to pray with them and lead the whole congregation sometimes through the sinner's prayer and ask if they would like to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Vivian arrived on campus Monday morning to clean out her desk before anyone arrived. She'd already submitted her letter of resignation from her engineering position at the Universidad of Javeriana in Bogota, Colombia. As she walked toward the office, she noticed a group of men handing out these little books, and she stopped and asked what they were doing. Well, this man right here gave her a testament, and she asked for prayer for her family because there were certain things going on in her life. Before she left, though, he walked her to the back of the testament, went through the Roman road, and asked her if she wanted to invite Jesus Christ into her heart. She did that before she left. She came back that afternoon, but she had to tell us. She said, "I've got to tell you the rest of the story." She said, "I came in this morning to clean out my desk. I was going to go home, take my life. My husband has left me for another woman, and I had no hope to live again." He took our children and left. She said, "I come this morning, but I met you guys. My life has been changed." She said, "Over the course of the day, while I stayed and didn't go home, I got a phone call from my husband. Her husband said, 'You're the woman that I love. I've made a huge mistake, and I want to restore a relationship and come back with you.'" Vivian's life was both spared and renewed. What a loving, merciful God we serve. Here's a number I want you to think about real quick. 4 billion. There are more than 4 billion unsaved people in the world today. 4 billion. Millions of people have never heard the good news. Many will never be able to own a personal copy of the Scriptures unless you and I give them one. So there's 4 things I'd like to ask you as a church to do today. First thing I'd ask you to do is pray for our ministry. I'd like to ask you to pray for these open doors in our schools over in Middle Tennessee. I would ask you to pray for more funds to be able to distribute more scriptures around the world. I I want to ask you to pray. We've got distribution scheduled. We had two crews that left yesterday. One was going to Mexico and the other to Indonesia for an international scripture blitz. We've got two more scheduled in March, Honduras and Spain. And in May, we've got two teams going to Venezuela and Malaysia. Second thing I would ask you to do today is if you feel led to give to the ministry, I would ask you to give. You can make a check payable to the Gideon's International. You can give cash. I had some flyers I handed out that's got a credit card form in it. You can use a credit card. But one thing for certain, if you give to the ministry, I want you to know this. If you give $1.30 to buy a Bible, that $1.30 is going to go from the beginning of that scripture, from the printing press to the hand it goes in. It goes to that fund. It doesn't go to my hands. It doesn't go to our international headquarters. Every dime that you give will go to put a scripture in somebody's hand. A Bible like this, on average, costs $5. You see them in hotels and motels all around wherever you stay. This Bible has, on average, 6 years of life, and it's possible it could touch 2,300 people's lives in its span. A little testament like this, on average, costs $1.30. The third thing I would ask you to do today is use the Gideon Card Bible Program. We have these cards praying for you in memory and on your special day. These cards we give free to your church in a display here. All you have to do, though, you got to send the Bible. You got to send the card to the person you want to send it to. Fill out the little donation slip. Mail it to the Gideon's International and buy your Bibles. Fourth thing I'd ask you to do today, if you're a business or professional man, I'd ask you to see me after the service today. And if you'd like to experience the joy of putting the Word of God into the hands of people in your area or all over the world, just see me after the service. Arnie Burke is a Gideon from Arkansas. And he was challenging a congregation just like I'm going to challenge you today. He said, imagine you 100 children coming through the doors and encircling the sanctuary. He said, they're all from all parts of the world, different colors, different sizes. He said, for $130, you can give every one of those children a copy of God's Word. He said, many of them will never have a Bible unless you and I buy it. There was a young lady there that day that was so moved by what he said that she wrote a letter to him. And 2 weeks later, the pastor called and said, Arnie, I want to share with you this letter from this young lady, 14-year-old girl in your church. She said, Dear Brother Bill, I would like to thank you so much for inviting Arnie Burke to come speak to the church this Sunday. I really enjoyed it. The stories he told really touched me. I've saved the money I made this summer by babysitting with plans of purchasing a pair of Doc Martens. After hearing Arnie, I've enclosed the money I saved to purchase a case of Bibles. I hope these Bibles touch someone else's life. And it was signed, sincerely, Bridget Millsap. And enclosed was $130. You see, the reason it was 2 weeks later, her mom wouldn't let her give that Sunday. Bridget's mom and dad lived on a farm, and they didn't have a lot of money. And Bridget's mom knew how much these shoes meant to this little girl. She said, if you still feel the same way that you do, in 2 weeks, you can give your $130. Well, guess what? She still felt the same way, and she gave $130. 4 years later, Arnie was going to speak at another church, and that Sunday morning the phone rang. It was a Gideon from Gentry, Arkansas, the church he spoke at 4 years earlier. He said, Arnie, we need you to pray for our church. There's been an accident. We had two vans headed on a ski trip to Colorado. He said, the first van, over the driver fell asleep, overturned the van, killed his 35-year-old wife. He said, in the second van was the youth, and they got stopped in time. He said, but there was a young lady that had been trained as a lifeguard. She jumped out, and she couldn't wait to administer help. She jumped out, and she ran straight in front of a car and was killed instantly. He said it was Bridget Millsap. You see, Bridget was now 18 years old. She was graduating in May with honors. She was a president of her senior class. Bridget held 5 beauty crowns. She was serving as Miss Gentry. And her motto was, "I do what's right, not what's popular." Arnie said it was the hardest thing he ever did in his life. He said, "I'll do anything you want me to do." He said that the family wants you to speak at the funeral in honor of Bridget. He said as he stood before that dad and the mom, twin brother and sister, and younger brother, he said, "The only consolation I could give them that Bridget Millsap may be possibly one of the greatest missionaries that ever walked the face of the earth. You see, over the last 4 years, I've shared at every church that I went to speak at about the love of this little 14-year-old girl." He said, "Thousands and thousands of dollars have rolled in all because of one little old girl in Gentry, Arkansas that gave $130. He said, "We may never know till we're in heaven. Bridget Millsap may be like the lady that anointed Jesus' feet. She may be known forever for the gifts that she's given." Now you ask me why. Why do you do what you do? Why do we do? And why do we go where we go? We do it for one reason. It's because our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, has empowered us to do this and given us this opportunity to go and share with a lost and dying world. Romans 10:14 says, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him who they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent?" What about you today? I know some of you can't afford a case of Bibles, but I believe some of you probably could. I want to ask you to give today. This little girl says thank you for her Bible. And when we gave her Bible to her, we said, "We'll be back. We can't give all the kids a Bible this year because we don't have enough Bibles. We'll be back." What about her brother? What about her sister? What about when she's grown, her children? Lead us in a word of prayer before we close. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that you give us. Father, I thank you for this church. I thank you for Brother Brad. And Lord, I pray for him today that you would help him as he shepherds this flock of people. Lord, that you would empower him with your vision for what you have for First Baptist Church. God, we thank you, Lord, that you love us so much. God, that you give your only begotten Son to die for our sins. Lord, you're a perfect Savior, and we thank you for it. Lord, we pray for the ministry today, Lord, the Gideons all over the world that's speaking in churches. We pray, Lord, that you lift them up. God, you give them strength, and you give them strength to go and hand out your word. God, that people have come to know you as Lord and Savior. I ask all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Brother Brad, I want to thank you for the opportunity that you give us. God.
We're gonna have an opportunity to come and bow at the foot of the cross. We're gonna spend some time in prayer. Our invitation time. Musicians are gonna play. Cameron's gonna come and lead. And my challenge to you is we're gonna have some men at the back with offerings plates on your way out. Offering as you exit. And I don't know what the Lord has laid on your heart today, but one thing that I do want to encourage you to try best you can and realize that 100% of the funds that you give goes to the purchase of Bibles in order for them to be placed in hands of children, be placed in the hands of men and women who serve our country, be placed in the hands of individuals who for better lack of words, are maybe on their way to the office to clean their desk out for one last time before they go home and take their own lives. I'm telling you this because the Word of God means something. And when it's in the right hands, the hands of the individuals that God needs to speak to through this, then they're able to hear God speak. And so as we prepare to have our invitation time this morning. I want to ask you to come and to just pray for the Gideons International, yes, but I also want to ask you to come and just pray that God would help us to realize the call He's placed on each of our lives. And the call is a real call. The call isn't one for us to sit passively in our seats comfortably every single day or every time we gather together to worship. But the call is to go and to tell people about the love of Christ. And so today I'm challenging you to come and to pray and ask God to use you as a living vessel. And then how can you participate today? You can participate, yes, by prayer, but also by giving. And so that's the challenge today. There are invitation time. Will you come?
Does everyone stand?
Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. Thanksgiving.